kill it at even. That is the Passover on the 14th day. Now, verse 15. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Now, look in chapter 13, verse 7. Unleavened bread shall be eaten throughout the 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy borders. And look at Leviticus 23, just to see the reference there to it. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 4. These are the set feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their appointed season. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye shall eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have a holy convocation. That means a sacred coming together. You shall do no servile work. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy coming together. Ye shall do no servile work. Now, this in brief shows the origin and the setting forth of this, the second feast of the seven feasts of Leviticus 23. Now, again to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians 5, look at verse 5. To deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as ye are unleavened. For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ. Wherefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I've told you now about these feasts in the Old Testament, that they are presented to us there, but the spiritual significance of them is not given there. But when you turn to the New Testament, you come across 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and you read, Christ our Passover hath been sacrificed for us. You say, I see. Then the Passover depicts Christ. Yes. And then the feast that follows it is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We'll tell you about that presently in the Word of God. And in 1 Corinthians 15 it says, Christ, the first fruits of them that slept. Now think. In chapter 5, we get the Passover, we get the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then in 1 Corinthians 15, we get the Feast of First Fruits. God has taken these feasts from the Old Testament, explained them to us in the New Testament. And for that reason, it shows that not their literal keeping, but the spiritual significance of it is the important thing that God has in mind. At that time, yes, if you literally ate leavened bread during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you were to be put away from the nation of Israel. But now we understand why this physical part of the ritual was carried out. because it was simply an act of disobedience. If God had said to eat leavened bread and they had eaten unleavened bread, that would have been disobedience. But now we understand that both the lamb was significant. Christ is our Passover lamb. God tells us that. There is no need to reason any further when God says, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. The matter is ended. The Passover depicts the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, it says, let us keep the feast, that is, of unleavened bread, and the unleavened bread feast has not to do with Christ, but it has to do with the people of Christ who have partaken first of the Passover. You must grasp that. God knows nothing of those who say, Christ, my Passover has been sacrificed. That is a Christian saying, I'm saved. The blood of Christ has cleansed me from all sin. Paul says, is that so? Will you confess that Christ, your Passover, has been sacrificed? Yes, I believe in the sacrificial death of Christ. Then Paul says, let us keep the feast. The two were inseparable. In fact, if we had abundance of time, you would find in the Gospels that the Passover at times is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You will find that they're almost used interchangeably. And the reason is this. Grasp this thought. In the first of the Jewish months, which was between March and April, on the 14th day of the month, about 3 o'clock, 2:30 or 3 in the afternoon, between 2:30 and 3 and 6 o'clock, that was the 14th day. But when it came to 6 o'clock, just 2 or 3 hours later, when it became 6 o'clock, immediately it was the 15th day. They were that close together, not a day apart. Yes, a day, just like 11:59 tonight is Wednesday, but once you come to 12 o'clock, then that's Thursday. And so you had the 14th day at even, and then as soon as the sun went down, you had the 15th day. And as soon as the Passover ended, and while it was still going on, the Feast of Unleavened Bread began. Now that's important. There is no such thing as an Israelite keeping the Passover, but refusing to observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And there is absolutely no excuse, and God recognizes no such thing as a true believer not partaking in the spiritual significance of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now think of this. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. But the feast and the eating of unleavened bread is the behavior of the people of God. The death of Christ, the life of his people. The Passover, Christ's death. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, the people of God's life. The death Christ died, the life we are to live. And it is signified by eating unleavened bread. Now, here is what you must understand. There was nothing wrong with eating leavened bread, except for those 7 days, beginning on the 15th day of the first month. After that, as soon as the feast ended, the women could go and put sourdough or yeast or leaven in their bread, and then they could eat leavened bread. It had absolutely no meaning of evil apart from the spiritual significance. There was nothing wrong for them to eat leavened bread. But if they ate leavened bread with its spiritual significance, it was entirely wrong. So we must understand that in the Old Testament, when such and such a thing is forbidden, it is forbidden literally, but the reason it's forbidden literally is because it has a spiritual significance. And they were not to eat bread with leaven in it, because that leaven depicted some form of evil. And God absolutely forbade it. And I would like to instill this in your minds because I've seen the perversity and the undisciplined manner of some who study the Word of God. And if you're trying to ascertain the spiritual significance of a lamb and of unleavened bread, what you do is to look up every occurrence of unleavened bread and leaven in that bread. And every occurrence that ever is used in a figurative way is used depicting evil, some form of evil. I told you a little bit last week that in chapters 2 and 7 and 23 of Leviticus, it talks about leaven and when it can be used, but it absolutely forbids any leaven that has been in the fine flour to be burnt upon the altar. So when you have leaven in bread, it never refers to Christ. It refers to the person or the people of God with the sinful nature that's in them. And at times, they are brought to light. But it never refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for that reason, even though leaven was used in some of the offerings, it never signified Christ. It signified the people that followed Christ, the children of Israel in the Old Testament. It signifies us in the New Testament. So much for that. Now, inasmuch as every scripture in the Old Testament and every scripture in the New Testament always speaks of leaven whenever it is described as evil, why, if you had one scripture that is not explained, why would anybody's mind think of anything else other than a spiritual significance of evil? Why? If I had read every book in the Old Testament, every book in the New Testament, and every time God ever mentioned leaven, it said, evil, 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 forbidden. Why, when I come to leaven that is spiritually used and not explained in the New Testament, why would my mind immediately say, something good? How could a person be so undisciplined in his thinking? Now, in all the references that Christ gives to leaven, when they're explained, I'll show you what they are. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. And I want you to remember this, because while teaching you, I want you to learn how and why I teach you as I do. Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse 5. And the disciples came to the other side and forgot to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, and so they start thinking. But now look down at verse 11. How is it that you do not perceive that I speak not to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then understood they that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. That is the key. When you have leaven, it is some evil form of teaching. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And if we translate that spiritually, it is beware of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now he's going to explain it again. Turn to Luke chapter 13. Luke 13. Or chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when the many thousands of the multitude were gathered together, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And to miss that, if he explains it, are you going to say, well, leaven, he's talking about something good. Notice that in chapter 16 of Matthew, he simply says the leaven is teaching. It's some kind of teaching that is promulgated by Pharisees and Sadducees. And he says it is hypocrisy. That is pretending to be something that you are not. They teach one thing and they act another. Here, and I will give you two examples, if you read in Acts chapter 23, no need to turn to that, but it mentions that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were together, and here it says that the Pharisees and their teaching is hypocrisy, and it says the Sadducees do not believe in angel or spirit or resurrection. So that's their teaching. So the Pharisees have an evil teaching of hypocrisy, and the Sadducees have an evil teaching of, I do not believe in spirits. I do not believe in an angel. I do not believe in resurrection from the dead. But you see that all of that teaching, from whatever source it comes, it is evil. And the Lord Jesus, every time that he explains what he means by leaven, he speaks of something that is evil. And I read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, put out the old leaven. And it speaks about the old leaven of malice and wickedness. Now, having shown you from the Old and the New Testament of leaven and its explanation, why would anyone come across a reference of leaven that is unexplained and ever think of anything other than what is evil? So, you'll find that leaven, spiritually interpreted, is evil doctrine or evil doing. It's what you teach or what you do. And at times it's a combination of both. In Matthew, the doctrine of the Pharisees was their leaven, their evil doctrine. In Luke, it is hypocrisy. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it is the behavior and the attitude of the people of God. So, if this is true of you, that you can say, Christ, my Passover has been sacrificed, then, Paul says, then keep the feast of unleavened bread. So, if there is in your life any hypocrisy, that is ritualism, they have a form of godliness, but that is all. They're whited sepulchres. And so if you are a hypocrite in that respect, or if there is a denial of the supernatural, then you have in your life some leaven, and God wants you to take it out. And if there are continuous in your life such things as fornication, such things as malice and wickedness and boasting, when all of these things occur in your life, what you're doing spiritually is keeping the feast with leavened bread. And God says, you're worthy to be excommunicated. So, for a Christian to say, Christ, my Passover has been sacrificed, immediately Paul says, then keep the feast of unleavened bread. And he tells us to put away all of the spiritual significances associated with this leaven. All right. Here is what I want to tell you, first of all, about leaven. It says both in 1 Corinthians 5 and in Galatians 5 about leaven. He says this, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Leaven is different from any other ingredient that you put in bread. If you drop a pecan or a raisin in a batch of dough, it is one thing. It stays what it is. And you could take it out. But I challenge you, put yeast or leaven in dough, and once it starts working, take it out. You say, why, it's worked its way through. Why, of course. Now, here is what happens to the people of God. Here is an assembly. You haven't sinned. You haven't sinned. You haven't sinned. But I've sinned. And so here you say, well, that's just one. That's just a little leaven. I see. So here is a batch of dough. Take a little yeast and put it in. And what happens? You say, it colors, the whole character of the loaf is changed, and if you leave it alone, eventually it will permeate, it will leaven the whole loaf. Two thoughts are in mind. I want you to see this. Turn to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. And look at verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. This woman knew what she was doing. If she wanted to affect the whole loaf, she puts in leaven. If you want to put in a raisin or a pecan, that's one thing. But it won't affect the whole loaf. But you put in leaven, and it affects the whole loaf. You put in a little of it. And he says both in 1 Corinthians 5 and Galatians 5, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And so they could say, there's only one sinner in our midst. Let's leave him there. Don't you understand? It's just a little leaven. And the Apostle Paul said, do you not know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? First of all, it changes the characteristics of the whole lump. And I've seen it here in Goldsboro. One of you sins. I've seen it in Israel. One of them, we'll speak of three, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, sin. You see, that's just a little leaven. All right. When that happens, and the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And so you have just a little bit here, you see, just a little. But what happens? The whole character of the meeting changes. Why? Because God says, put away, get rid of that leaven, purge out the leaven. But there are attitudes when a little leaven is in the midst. Some say, why, we have to be tolerant. Why, we are too strict. Why, we have to show love. Don't you understand that that little bit of leaven has leavened the whole lump? And if you leave it there, not only will the character be involved, but the other people who were against sin, they become more and more tolerant of it until the whole sanctity and purity of the meeting is affected and morality is lowered to nothing. And that is why God insists you purge out the old leaven. You have to get rid of it. Now, I want to show you that the whole character of the assembly and the whole loaf is leavened by its simple presence being there. You have Korah and Dathan and Abiram, and they rose up against Moses and Aaron, and God himself from heaven judged them. And as soon as God got rid of these evil influences in evil in Israel, the people who saw God's hand fall upon them in judgment, they rose up against Moses and Aaron and they said, you killed the people of God. Do you understand how the whole loaf was leavened? And you get feelings. And here at the church in Corinth, you have a little leaven. There was only one that was incestuous. But when that happened, you have some that have puffed up. Some are boasting. And this is caused by that little leaven. And so it's not only the little leaven itself, but if that little leaven does not cause you to commit the same sin that is being committed, it will affect your thinking, your personality, your character. And that is just what happened at the church in Corinth. Now, here's what I want you to see. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 5 because this is most important. In 1 Corinthians 5, it says in verse 5, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, here is one that's been in their midst that was tolerated, and they were puffed up in verse 2, and in verse 5, they were 6, they're glorying, they're boasting about it. And Paul says, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. You say, well, the man is put out. Yes, but there's leaven still there. What leaven? Not this time the leaven of an incestuous brother, but the leaven of malice and wickedness and pride and being puffed up. All of that kind of leaven is there as well. And so there is not only outward actions and behavior that are described as leaven, and of course any outward behavior such as fornication and incest, yes, that has to be removed. But after that is removed, there is still the leaven of malice and wickedness and pride and boasting. And so if we do put away fornication from our midst, but in your mind there is still resentment, as in the case of Korah and Dathan and Abiram, and you say, you've been harsh to the people of God, why, the leaven is still there. And what he wants to do is not only to put out the physical sin that is in our midst, but the sin that is in your disposition, your feelings, your thoughts. All of these things are to be dealt with too, for this reason. Now look. Look at verse 7. Purge out the old leaven. Do you know what the old leaven is? It is that evil thinking and will and mind and reasoning and behavior that was in you when you trusted Christ as Savior. You thought a certain way. You felt a certain way. You reasoned a certain way. And now, after these have become children of God, they're bringing in their old thoughts and reasonings and behavior into the church. And Paul says, purge out the old leaven. Why? It's like this. Before the Feast of Unleavened Bread, there was leaven. But once the Passover and then the Feast of Unleavened Bread began, that old leaven was to have been put away, and there was to be a new lump, and leaven was not to be seen anywhere among the children of Israel. And what happens is this, that we as Christians, yes, Christ our Passover has been sacrificed, but you bring over the thoughts and reasonings and disposition of that old nature, that old man that's spoken of in the Bible, your old fallen corrupt nature, you bring that over into the new, and you try to carry on the church of Jesus Christ with that old leaven that Paul says, put it out. Then, look at verse 8. Wherefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, that is, the way we used to be, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. Do you realize that even after you become a Christian, there can be malice and wickedness and jealousy among the people of God? Did you know that? It could be in you. Jealousy, hatred, backbiting, all of these things can still be in the people of God. So you leave behind what you were before you came in Christ. And now after you come in Christ, there can still be leaven of malice and wickedness. But all of those things are to be purged out. And then this is what is to characterize us. We are to be unleavened. And what is it to be unleavened bread? The unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That is what is to characterize every blood-bought child of God. Christ, my Passover, has been sacrificed. What am I to do now? I am to eat the feast of unleavened bread, which means I am to behave in a way that is characterized by sincerity and truth. Now, I've told you in time past, when Christ said, if this cup, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he said, I drink it. Drinking a cup is accepting the lot that God has given you in life. The contents of life is in this cup. And the Father said to the Son, drink it, and he did. Now, in the Bible, I just had this reference read to me this morning. It speaks about in Proverbs 4, and I want you to see this. Please turn to Proverbs 4. Two references in Proverbs, and then you'll understand the figurative significance of it. In Proverbs chapter 4, and look at verse 17. For they eat the bread of wickedness. So, they're not eating unleavened bread, they're eating leavened bread. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Now, it is explaining it. Look at verse 16. For they sleep not except they do evil. That's eating the bread of wickedness. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause someone to fall. That's drinking the wine of violence. And chapter 31, look at that. Chapter 31. And look at verse 27. Concerning the virtuous woman, it says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. And so to eat bread is the way you behave. To be idle, to be indolent, to be slothful is to eat the bread of idleness. And then to do violence is to eat the bread of wickedness. But to act in sincerity and in truth is to eat unleavened bread. And that's what we are to do. All that is characterized in sincerity and truth and goodness, as we live that way, then we are eating unleavened bread. And so Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the feast of unleavened bread. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, forgive us for emphasizing so much the Passover and forgetting the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We pray, our God, that we shall not separate the two because you never do. You insist upon them. We think, our Lord, about when we were saved, how much of the old man remained with us, our thinking, our behavior, all the ruts that we've fallen into in the past. We confess, our God, that when we trust Christ as Savior, we did not immediately break away from them, the evil habits of the past. But we pray that we shall put away the old leaven, and now that we are truly saved, that those special sins that are like unto leaven of Christians, malice, wickedness, backbiting, jealousy, all of those things, our God, that they shall be put away. And just as it is true that Christ our Passover has been sacrificed, may it be just as true in a practical way that we as your children are keeping the feast of unleavened bread, eating